Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I humbly ask, may your word go forth, and all glory to you. Please use this time that we spend together for your glory. It's in the name of our risen Savior that I pray. Amen. It seems that all of my favorite stories, the stories I've come to love over the years, whether they're stories that I read or I watch, stories that I can read or watch over and over and over, sometimes to the great annoyance of my wife, they all seem to include a common element, and that element is the element of the unexpected twist. The climactic point in the story that makes it worth watching every single time. For example, one of my favorites is the Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story. The original Gene Wilder one, not the most recent one. It's the story of a boy who wins a lottery of sorts by finding a golden ticket in a candy bar. The ticket gives him a chance to win a lifetime supply of chocolate. And who wouldn't want that? And in the end, though, he discovers that he's been disqualified from receiving the prize. Charlie's hopes and dreams are crushed. But the unexpected twist comes when he decides to return an item that he could have easily stolen. And that act, that very act of honesty, ends up winning him the grand prize. I love that story. I always wanted to win or find the gold. So many great scenes and memories in that story. And I mean, really, who doesn't like Oompa Loompas? Think about your favorite story, book, maybe a movie. But chances are, one of the reasons you like it so much is because of that moment of the unexpected twist. The amazing turn of events, the unpredictable outcome that even though you know how the story ends every time, it still puts a smile on your face. It still brings joy to your heart, even if you've watched it 100 times. The Bible is filled with these kinds of stories. Our God is the master at taking seemingly unrelated details and bringing them together into a beautiful and many times unexpected result. Take the story of Abraham. Who would have believed that he would actually leave behind a life of luxury to pursue God's call of hardship and uncertainty? Who would have guessed that this old man would become the father of a great nation, the people of God? And that he would be asked to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. And at that moment, another one of God's unexpected twists. There, and just in the nick of time, the ram in the thicket appears. How about the story of Joseph, the favorite son who was sold into slavery because of the jealousy of his brothers? Later on, he becomes their ruler, in many ways, their savior. And I love the part in the story of Joseph where he unexpectedly forgives the unforgivable. I don't think anybody ever saw that twin. How about the incredible story of Moses, who surprises us in nearly every chapter with one miracle after another? Saved from the Nile, witness of a burning bush, predictor of 10 plagues of Egypt, divider of the Red Sea, receiver of the 10 commandments, springer of water from a rock in the desert. What a story. What about the surprises in the story of David slaying a giant and then becoming king? Or the irony of Job losing everything only to end up in the end with more than everything in return? Or Queen Esther, who risked to save her people and sent Haman to the gallows? Or Jonah, who was swallowed by a fish and lived to tell about it. Of course, there are hundreds of other stories recorded in the pages of Scripture, stories of ordinary men and women who experienced unexpected entrance of God's grace into their lives, leading to results that no one but Almighty God could have dreamed up. Hollywood has nothing over the Bible. The Bible was written over the course of more than 2,000 years, penned by more than 40 men, penned on three different continents in three different languages. And yet these 66 books tell one single story. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a single narrative that all points to one person, to Jesus. When you take time to read and understand the story of Jesus, you'll find that there's a reason why some people have called it the greatest story ever told. The story of Jesus is his coming to rescue his people from their sins, his coming to seek and save those who were lost, to be a ransom for many, die in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, to heal us, to deliver us, to reconcile us, and to bring us back to God. And after 2,000 years of waiting, the Messiah came right on time. Born of a virgin in the line of David from the tribe of Judah. The light of the world made his dwelling among them, full of grace and truth. Preaching good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. But despite miracles unlike anyone had ever seen before, the people of Israel despised and rejected him. They disowned the holy and righteous one, asking that a murderer be set free in exchange for Jesus to be crucified. They murdered the author of life between two thieves on a hill outside Jerusalem. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. And just when things in the story seemed the darkest and the most confusing for the people of God, it seems to be spiraling out of control and heading toward a sad, hopeless ending. The unexpected happens. In a strange way, it reminds me of the climactic moment in another one of its stories, the Christmas story. You know, the one with the Red Ryder BB gun. The twist in that story comes when Ralphie thinks that Christmas is over, and he did not receive the Red Ryder BB gun that he's been hoping and pining for. After all the gifts have been opened, and in the midst of his great disappointment, Ralphie's mother says, "Hey, what's that over there behind?" Ralphie perks up. "Where?" She says, "Behind the desk over there by the wall. Why don't you go check it out?" And if you've seen the movie, you know he finds it and the joy that is experienced on his face. Or it's like another one of my favorites. When the criminal thinks he's outsmarted the detective and gotten completely away with the murder. It's in that moment that the bumbling Lieutenant Columbo, with his trademark trench coat, would stop and slowly turn around and say, "Oh, sir, pardon me, but there's just one more thing." And when the enemy of our souls, the devil, finally believed that he had Jesus finished off, when things seemed to be the darkest and the most confusing, just when the story seemed to be coming to a sad, hopeless end, the unexpected happened. "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day Jesus, my Lord. If you know the rest, sing it with me. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. The women and the disciples and the followers of Christ didn't see the twist in the plot coming. Even though Jesus had told them many times before that he would be killed and raised to life, and even though they had seen miracles and believed that he was the Messiah, it seems that even they didn't believe that he could defeat death. The resurrection of Jesus is the undeniable proof that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. The resurrection confirmed Christ's claims that he would be raised on the third day, and it is the confirmation for those who believe in him that we will be resurrected to eternal life. The Apostle Paul put it bluntly. He said, "If Christ's body was erected, then we have no hope. We have no Savior. We have no salvation. We have no eternal life." If there is no resurrection, then our faith is futile. Our faith is completely useless. But death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him, and life conquered death. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He was raised. We do have hope. We do have a Savior. We do have salvation. We do have eternal life. God keeps his promises. From Genesis to Revelation, his word is true. The resurrection is an exclamation point and another promise kept. He is mighty. He is holy. He is glorious. He is exalted. But the resurrection of Christ was not the final twist in the grand story. There is a point at which your life intersects God, the God who created and loves you. But because of our sin, we've been separated from him. We were his enemies. And the bad news is that because of our sin, we were destined for eternal death in hell. We were on a path to get what we deserved. No matter where we were from, if we lived a good life or a bad life, because of our sins, we were destined for destruction. But the unexpected twist comes in the form of the good news of the gospel. It's simply this. No matter who you are or what you've done, no matter how old or young you are, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. The scripture says this. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And the outrageous result of putting faith in Christ is that you receive what you don't deserve, the riches of God's grace. Wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus. Not sure where you're at in relationship with Christ this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I pray and I hope that you will find him today. He loves you just as you are. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He said. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And as for his people, people who are living by faith in Christ, I challenged it today. By the grace of God, look for opportunities to extend an unexpected twist of God's love to someone in your life. Maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe you can extend God's love to your spouse, because sometimes holidays are a little stressful. Or maybe you choose to receive God's love anew in your own life today. I challenge you. Unexpectedly forgive someone today. Without warning. Without expecting anything in return. Smile at someone who seems like they're having a rough day. And if someone will let you, hug someone who looks like they need a hug. Ask their permission, though, first. Breathe the grace of God into a relationship that the enemy has already checked off his list as case closed. But you know the truth that God still moves stones. Our God is still in the process of making all new. Let your light shine. Tell the story of how God's grace has changed your life. What better day is there to talk about how God's life has changed your life? Through his wonder-working power that has brought you from death to life. Today, we celebrate Jesus and his victory over death. Joy to the world, he has risen. His resurrected, unexpected grace in the grand story of his love for us.
It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points greater. The story of Adam and Eve is not just about the first man and woman. There is a true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is ascribed to us. There is a true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood that cries out not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. There is a true and better Abraham who answer the call of God, the comfortable and familiar, and go out into the void to create a new people and better. The son of laughter, of grace, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us all. Better Jacob, who wrestled and took low of justice we deserve. So Jacob only received the wounds of grace that wake us up and discipline us. There is a true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. There is a true and better Moses, who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. There is a true and better rock of Moses, who struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. There is a true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his foolish friends. There is a true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. There is a true and better, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly one, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. There is a true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. There is a true and better Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, and the true bread. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative that points to one person, Jesus.